Picture this. You're in the garage, hands covered in grease, just finished tuning up your engine with a part you found on eBay, and you realize, you know what? I could also use new brakes. So where do you go next? Back to eBay. You can find anything there. It's unreal. Wipers, headlights, even cold air intakes, it's all there. And you've got eBay Guaranteed Fit. You order a part, and if it doesn't fit, send it back. Simple as that. Look, DIY fixes can be major. Doesn't matter if it's just maintenance or a major mod. You got it, especially when things are guaranteed to fit. So when you dive into your next car project, start with eBay. All the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things people love.
Welcome to another fun episode of TFL Talking Trucks Podcast. This is, as always, Andre, and with me is my buddy, Nathan.
Hey, guys. Long time no see.
Yep. Dude, there has been so much news in the truck space. I'm talking about pickup truck space, and I haven't talked to you in a couple weeks. So I really wanted to kind of discuss the latest stuff and also talk about some of the vehicles, pickup trucks specifically, that we are really excited about for the coming year, and discuss news. Huge week.
Sounds good.
So I want to start here, dude, because SEMA is just a couple days away. SEMA, of course, is an industry trade show. You and I have visited it, over the last 12 years together, maybe. And you've been there even before that, right?
Yeah, it's going on about two decades. Before I was even a journalist, I went there with my family's business, just under their name, to check it out. But back in the day, it wasn't what it is now. I mean, back then it was actually a trade show. Now it's almost a consumer show, as you know. I mean, there's millions of people that seem to go through this event every year, and it's a crowded, difficult space to work in. But automakers have looked at it and said, this is a really good place to showcase stuff that we may or may not produce. And in many cases, they'll bring things out, prototypes and concepts, and they'll actually build not necessarily the whole vehicle, but components that go onto the vehicle, or perhaps that vehicle is a heavily disguised version of something they're going to produce in the near future.
Exactly. And sometimes it's hard to tell, right? Because, you know, of course, budgets change. And, you know, with COVID over the last couple, few years, things have been a little bit chaotic. And some manufacturers are more aggressive, right? And some are less aggressive and maybe more methodical about how they do things. But I want to start here because Toyota just, a couple of hours ago, they just dropped a little bit of news on us before SEMA show. And specifically, I want to talk about this, the Land Cruiser ROX concept. ROX is R-O-X. And it's an SUV, but it's not just an SUV. It's a concept. And it's got an open top, dude. So no roof. And it has a small truck bed in the back.
How long have we been waiting for them to bring back the FJ Cruiser, but with a soft top version that could go up against Jeep and the Ford Bronco? In addition, this one looks far more pickup truck-like in terms of that bed with that midgate that drops. That looks, just to my eye, like it's over 6 feet. In length, at least. I don't know about width, but it's definitely a Toyota Land Cruiser that has been massaged a little bit. And if they build this, holy cow, this would be a game changer. And I'm not just saying that because it looks cool. It's because it's far more utilitarian than the current guys that are out there. And I think that it would be a really good idea to build something like this.
Yeah, well, over the last, year or so, I've been a little bit confused by the SUV strategy at Toyota and Lexus, right? And by that, I mean, it seems to be too crowded, right? Yep. So they recently launched the Land Cruiser SUV. People are buying them. I was just at the local Toyota dealership here near Denver, and there is a lot of them on lots now, right? Then they also have, just a couple months from now, they have the 4Runner, the next generation 4Runner coming, right?
Right.
Similar, same chassis, basically. It's body and frame. And also at the same time, they're selling the GX550 Lexus SUV. Slightly different powertrain, but same chassis. And they're all to, you know, four-door, either five-seater or seven-seater SUVs based on the same chassis and very similar powertrains and very similar space, etc. But if they introduce this convertible version of one of those, it makes a lot more sense to me. And, you know, they can expand on it, maybe make it a little bit of a truck. They're showing this tailgate that flips back in the back of this Land Cruiser concept. And it looks like there's a couple of places to sit down. It seems to be kind of the latest craze, but it's not new. You know, tailgates have been around for, what, 100 years or more? And people have been sitting on tailgates for 100 years.
Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers. I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, and you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your vehicle. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your vehicle, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your vehicle hassle-free and fast, go to tfltruck.com and click Sell Your Truck in the navigation menu. Or click on the HiRoad ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. HiRoad makes it easy, and we like easy.
I agree. Now, here's the interesting part. If you actually look into Land Cruiser history, they used to build, in fact, overseas, they still build variants that are pickup trucks and can still hold humans. And they have been building open top vehicles going all the way back 50 years plus. So they have a history of building these vehicles. And remember, it's still a truck. I mean, it's got a proper frame and a solid rear axle. And as far as I know, all of them that you mentioned, they all have a very similar type of configuration with the independent front suspension system.
Yeah.
But that's no different than what a modern day pickup truck normally is. So really, it's a question of if they can build something like this, will it have good capacity for towing? Will it be able to handle some payload? Now, currently, the Land Cruiser that exists, it only comes with one powertrain, I believe, which is the hybrid four-cylinder turbo powertrain.
Yep.
And I don't think it tows more than 5,000 pounds, but I'm not 100% sure on that one.
I think it's rated around 6,000, but it's not like mid-size pickup territory necessarily, because a lot of pickups in the space, the mid-sizers, are like about 7,700 pounds.
Although Nissan's around 6, aren't they right now?
Yeah, they actually lifted it up a little bit. I think they're in the high 6s now. So, but I think if Toyota actually did productionalize this concept, by the way, they're using their Calte design studio in California to do this, and also their Michigan engineering facility to kind of construct this concept. So they're involving their main teams. It's not like, you know, they outsourced this project to somebody else, you know, for building purposes. So I think this is quite unique and interesting, but I don't want to put words in their mouth, right? And I think it could be just a lifestyle vehicle to go up against the Wranglers, the Gladiators, you know, the Broncos, all those vehicles. You know, I think it could be really cool.
I really think they should build this. It looks super cool. I hope it looks this good in person.
Yeah. So we'll, So I'll be fortunate enough. I'm going to SEMA with Roman. And so I hope to actually, you know, crawl all the way around this concept and other concepts that Toyota and Lexus are bringing and actually show it. And they also have a 4Runner Surf coming, basically kind of harking back to the first original 4Runner, which was actually also a convertible, kind of a half convertible, right?
It was basically like a unibody pickup truck that had a removable shell on it. And there were a couple different versions. There was a four-cylinder turbo version of that. It was brief, but it did exist. wasn't very fast.
No, I know. And it's almost like the history is repeating itself. But this is cool, cool
right?
thing because the company has heritage, right? Toyota has heritage. Why not draw on that and actually make really cool, fun stuff that people can actually buy, not just look at the show, you know, at SEMA, but actually purchase?
I agree 100%.
All right, let's move on because we have a lot to get to. So I was fortunate. I was in Michigan for a REM RHO event, and I was able to see in person, and I did a video about this, the new RAM heavy duty 2500 Power Wagon concept. This is also kind of a concept by Mopar, which is their kind of accessory division, right? And they're bringing this concept to SEMA again. And once again, I'll be able to see it again in Vegas. And those people who are also going to SEMA, by the way, they have like Friday is like a public day. The Friday, what I think it's like November 8th or 9th. So you do have to buy a ticket, but they do have public days at SEMA where you can actually come in and see a lot of these vehicles in Las Vegas. And of course, the show starts on Tuesday for the industry people, and then it kind of moves on until Friday. What do you
right.
think? Well, first, this concept shows the new face, and there's a lot of controversy on the style, you know, the split, horizontally split headlamp, and also the grill, which is kind of interlocking lines. What do you think?
Well, I read some of the comments. I watched your video, and there were a lot of people who were pretty negative about the front end design, especially the front end design. Some didn't like the color, and some didn't like the fact that it doesn't look like an all new truck. That it looks like there's just some extra goodies kind of stapled onto it, I guess. But the front end design, let's just quickly start there. I don't mind the headlight design, although I gotta say it looks a little bit like a Genesis. The way they design their headlights. It's the same type of styling ethic that they put into this, I think. I do agree with a lot of people about that grill. I don't think it's the best design that they could choose. The way it droops down, I think, is almost, it almost takes some of that masculinity and that manliness of the Power Wagon and kind of waters it down. I can't quite put my finger on why I'm not a huge fan of that grill design. But it just doesn't really do it for me. The bumper design, well, it's fine. It incorporates a winch, which is very important. RAM was one of the first to really do this on a production truck, and taking it one step further, that's great. The rear design, I didn't really mind it so much. I mean, it really shows the new taillight design, which is part of the production, I believe. And then everything else on it is kind of just an addition. One thing that you said that I agree on is the tires are still too small. Those are 35s, right?
Yeah.
Those have got to be 37s. They've got to be 37s to start with. And also 20-inch wheels. Yeah, let's put on 18 or even 17, whatever can clear the brakes. Because most people who are going to be buying this truck are actually interested in going off-road and really beating up on it. And having a really large metal wheel means that everything is sort of changed. That rolling resistance is the only thing that's not, but in terms of the weight of the tire, all that extra rotational mass, also that's just a heavy chunk of metal. Condensing it and giving you more tire means you can air down more, you have more sidewall. It's just a more logical thing to do. Yeah, it looks decent. I mean, I think it from the side, it looks pretty good, but I think that a lot of people who are serious about off-roading would want a better tire and wheel option.
Picture this. You're in the garage, hands covered in grease, just finished tuning up your engine with a part you found on eBay, and you realize, you know what? I could also use new brakes. So where do you go next? Back to eBay. You can find anything there. It's unreal. Wipers, headlights, even cold air intakes, it's all there. And you've got eBay guaranteed fit. You order a part, and if it doesn't fit, send it back. Simple as that. Look, DIY fixes can be major. Doesn't matter if it's just maintenance or a major mod. You got it. Especially when things are guaranteed to fit. So when you dive into your next car project, start with eBay. All the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things people love.
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Yeah, and I mean, Power Wagon, I think, is really important for their lineup, right?
I agree.
You coined the term, a phrase for the Power Wagon.
I did indeed.
Can you please say it?
Ram loved it so much they used it before. Yeah, and it is. It's true. Off-road, Power Wagon don't care. It is just a tough, mean vehicle off-road. It's fantastic. There are other ones out there that are really good too, but Power Wagon was one of the first to really bring this to the public. Two things. One, I hope they keep that identity and just make it just even meaner. Two, I wish I could drive it here in L.A., but I seriously would be so poor I'd have to live in the truck because of the amount of gasoline it consumes.
No, but
and there's no diesel option as far as I know.
I know, but you could have it for a loan maybe, and you could scare some neighbors, you know, just driving it up and down. So that would be fine.
I live in Los Angeles, and almost every other vehicle parked in a driveway here is a pickup truck, either midsize or full size. It's crazy. In fact, there's one that's identical to your truck, my friend, that's right down the street. It's hysterical because I keep thinking that you're about to throw toilet paper at my house.
Is it nitro yellow Chevy Colorado?
It is exactly the same. The only reason I can tell the difference is it doesn't have that black part that you put on yours. So I have to sometimes glance at it. It's like, oh yeah, that's not Andre. He didn't come out to LA to harass me. So
I am so sorry that it's stalking you. It's basically haunting you.
It is, but it's fine. It reminds me of the TFL in Colorado. But the deal is that something that big and that massive really doesn't work very well on these tiny city streets. There's barely enough room in my neighborhood for two trucks to actually pass each other when there's cars parked on the street. And so this is how it is in many places. But Power Wagon is still very cool, and I hope that they are listening to what the viewers are saying about some of the design choices they've made. And bear in mind, you know, everybody, this is a concept. This isn't necessarily in stone. However, I think you might see that headlight design in future heavy-duty trucks.
Yeah. So Ram is in a bit of a trouble, right? Stellantis is in trouble. Their sales are going down. I think it's really important for them to get the heavy-duty lineup correct, get it right.
Agreed.
So the best information we have is that in the first quarter of 2025, first of all, we'll see all of the production versions of this truck, and hopefully sometime in the first quarter of next year, 2025, just a few months from now, we'll be able to drive them and test them and, you know, do a full, you know, comparison with these trucks. I want to, of course, do eye gauntlets. I really want to see some powertrain updates, right? They rumored their transmission, you know, the new ZF 8-speed for diesel trucks. You know, they rumored that, or at least I rumored that here.
Yes. We've been going over a lot of transmission rumors with Ram for years, haven't we?
Yeah. And also one of the weaknesses of the Power Wagon has always been payload, right? It's a truck that's focused on off-roading. That's fine. And I think it's really, really cool. But now we have the F-250 Tremors. We have the ZR2 heavy-duty Silverados, right? Those trucks have more payload right now. They are all rolling on 35s. And, you know, they may not have dual lockers, you know, front and rear. That's a Power Wagon thing. But, you know, Power Wagon needs to step up. You know, it can no longer just exist because it has so much competition now.
It does. And it established the bar, which now everybody's coming up to and in some cases surpassing. So they need to bring out something to really hit them hard. Of course, the question is, you take a truck like that, that's not a volume seller. The volume seller is going to be their heavy duty trucks that are for towing and hauling, you know, realistically.
Yeah.
But there are an awful lot of people who will buy, you know, a the tradesman, and then get that Power Wagon package. A lot of people have been doing that because it saves a ton of money and they don't want all the chintzy stuff on there. They just want the basics, the suspension, the solid axles that have the detachable sway bar, and of course the winch and some of the armor that all comes on the Power Wagon package. And they need to keep doing that. Ram cannot take that away. So hopefully they will keep that on whatever they use to replace the Power Wagon.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I mean, it's about working, of course, heavy-duty trucks. Like we have a Trailhound, right? We have a 2022 Ram heavy-duty Trailhound project truck. And when Roman first purchased it almost 3 years ago now, it had 2,200 pounds of payload because, you know, Ram didn't really update their gross vehicle weight ratings, you know, like Ford right. and Ram has done recently. So they still need to step that up as well. It's not just about the Power Wagon. You know, they need to step up their game across the board.
You know, the Trailhound was parked in my driveway for a few days, and I put it on the side of my house. And the thing was so damn big that one of my neighbors who has a new Tundra that's lifted and everything else, he even looked a little intimidated because this thing looked like it was going to just, you know, cram it with, you know, its, you know, big wheels or whatever. It just looks mean. And that, my friend, is exactly what we need to emote with the new Power Wagon. It seriously has to have that vibe. It's got to be mean. So
yeah,
that's my two bits.
I need to spill some news.
Yes.
I can't hold this anymore. I wanted to surprise you. But we can't talk everything about this, but I am switching trucks. I personally, it's in the past. I have already sold a truck and bought a truck. And since you mentioned my Colorado in nitro yellow, I cannot hold that news anymore. So I'm changing my truck.
Are we allowed to say what this is? Or are you going to tell me later on and just make everybody wait?
So here's the deal. So we have 8 channels, right, at TFL Studios. Yes. When you're listening to this podcast the same weekend on TFL Truck, we're going to show what I purchased. And this podcast goes before that. So I don't want to say everything on this particular okay. episode of the podcast about the new truck I chose and why I chose it, et cetera, et cetera. So I wanted to tease this here. And then next week, we want to dedicate our podcast to Las Vegas. So we want to dedicate that podcast show to SEMA 2024. But I want to do another episode with you, Nathan, maybe later next week, about a week from now, so we can... dig down and you can ask me everything about why I sold my Colorado and what I got.
So you bought a Hyundai, didn't you?
No.
You were so jealous of my Hyundai that you bought one. I know it. Just admit it. And you got it probably in some weird wild color. So, you know, vibrant yellow or something like that. So that way you can remember your Chevy and you bought this little tiny thing. Which I got so much crap for 2 years from everybody at TFL Truck, both in the studio and our audience. It's like, you know, well, your man card has been revoked. Aha. So now it's on you, my friend. I know what you bought.
So I can say this. I can say this, that my family has been a little bit complaining, you know, my wife and 2 kids, that the Colorado was a little bit too small. So,
for those of you who don't know, Andre is going to probably be the shortest person in his family within the next few years. His kids are getting pretty damn tall, and his wife is tall too. So, yeah, I would imagine that the Colorado was a little too small. I actually laughed when I thought about that in the past, but you're like, oh, yeah, they're cool. Yeah.
Well, I never owned a midsize truck before I bought the Colorado Trail Bus. A year and a half ago, I never had a midsizer before, so I really wanted to experience it. And my experience has been kind of a roller coaster, right? You will see that video in detail soon on oldtfl.com. But I did not go down in size. I went upwards in size. So I did not buy a Santa Cruz. So I can say that. So I bought something full size.
Okay. Well, how about we leave it at that? And everybody who's listening is going to get really ticked off at you. Just so you guys know, I tried to get it out of him, but we're going to have just wait a little bit. You'll probably hear about this within the next couple of days.
Yeah, definitely. You'll hear about this like the following day after you first listening to this episode. Or if you're listening to this later in the year, just type in oldtfl.com or tfltruck.com and you'll see it right there. Boom. It'll be obvious. Okay.
Really funny. I'm always the last to hear about the changes and the new purchases from TFL. It's the funniest thing.
And you know what? When this show is over, I'll tell you personally.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thanks. Let's continue.
Oh, that's not all. Roman is not here. He will tell you other news. There's something else going on at TFL as far as vehicle stuff is concerned. So he will tell you a little bit later as well.
Oh, right. I'm on pins and needles.
I want to talk to you about this, Nathan. This is very important. You were one of the first people ever. Scout Motors invited you and several other people, I think, to see a prototypes of the new Scout pickup truck and the SUV. This was what, almost 2 years ago?
It was about 2 years ago. And at the time, we knew was a vague little thing about Scout may come back. And we just didn't know much. And all of a sudden we get this invitation. So I went representing TFL Truck and TFL Off-Road. Now at the time, we had the Hummer, and they were very interested in my take on the Hummer. And as you guys may know, I'm not a huge fan. So I went in there, and the majority of the people that were there were actually Scout owners or part of a Scout club. Mm. And of course, we were all sworn to secrecy. They took our phones, you know, did special types of tests to make sure that none of us were spies. You know what I mean? You know, we had to sign our life away. And so they brought us into a studio. And first thing was they sat us all down. And we talked about what the future could be in terms of trucks, off-road trucks, electric trucks. That was like their main thing. They asked me a lot of questions publicly with the people around me about the various vehicles we'd driven. And at that time, of course, the Ford Lightning and, of course, the Hummer. So I gave them all of the information that I could. They were very interested in it because, you know, it's a first-hand account. And then from there, we went and started seeing some of the components that they're working on. And then suddenly we're taken to a room where we had both Scouts as a model, full size, sitting there. Now, they had a couple different options for the front end and rear end design, but essentially the silhouette and majority of what you're looking at here essentially was on display for us to look at. So I knew about this way in advance.
Can I stop you for a sec? Was this like clay models or were they painted models?
These were, I believe, full-size clay models. They had paint on them. Okay. But I mean, we were not allowed to really touch them or mess with them. They were just sort of sitting there. In fact, if I recall, the lines were painted where certain, you know, components would be able to be opened. They were painted on in some cases.
No, but I get it. So it was early on. I mean, it wasn't
exactly
this
was their visualization of a concept. And this was stage three out of stage five in terms of making this thing into something that actually is on the road. We did talk about battery. We did talk about range. They were just talking like snowballing. Hey, this is some of the stuff we're thinking about. This is what we're looking at. And at the time, the big news for me at least was there was no mention of a range extender. They were only talking about full electric trucks. So I believe that the recent knee-jerk reaction to fully electric trucks and the fact that there are some alternatives out there, including range extenders, is one of the reasons why they made some changes in order to make this thing have one as an option.
Cool. And I actually have some news about this, too. So our friends at scoutevforum.com. So there's a new forum, of course, for the new potential owners. By the way, these vehicles are still about 3 years away. But
yeah, but 2.5 to 3 years is what I heard. Yeah.
Yeah. But they cannot wait to drive them. But here's the news. ScoutEVForum.com has currently about 855 Scout reservation holders that submitted their data into the forum. And this data, this is just official Scout numbers. This is forum numbers. They said that the range extender harvester option has an 81% take rate. So 81% of all vehicles reserved, according on the forum, have a range extender gasoline engine, 81%. And then as far as SUV versus pickup truck, about 62%, two-thirds almost, is SUV and one-third truck, which is kind of
surprising. That's interesting.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
I thought it would be the other way around with the truck and the SUV, but this is still the early stages of this, right? And I think that that number may go up once they start talking about some of the capacities that weren't quite out there yet. The truck overall design, its size, it sits right in between, in my mind, between what we have with like a F-150 Lightning and then slightly smaller to say where the Rivian is. I think it sits right in between the two, if I recall from what I had seen in person. And we even discussed it. And I know some people out there were talking about, well, what about a two-door with, you know, a bench seat or whatever? And yeah, right now I think that it's easier for them and more economical for them to have two different chassis with the battery and the range extender as an option and start there. Other stuff down the road, I'm not too sure about, but I will say this. The lines are excellent. The approach and departure angle on both vehicles looks quite good. Obviously, the breakover on the pickup truck is not going to be amazing because it's got a longer wheelbase, but it certainly looks and has a lot of the prerequisites necessary for it to be a decent off-roader, including solid rear axles and a locker mechanical. Wow, I did not expect that.
No, I did not either. And body on frame design. I mean, a lot of modern, you know, like you mentioned Rivian, right? Rivian, yeah. Some others, you know, they're looking at a more integrated design, like almost like a unibody design. But no, I mean, Scout went for kind of a distinct body on frame architecture, solid rear axle, front locker also available, right? Rear axle locker available, 5.5 foot bed. Right. So which is full size territory, right? This is this is almost an F-150 at this point, right, as far as size.
And it's got that integrated sidestep that General Motors has been using on some of their trucks. I love having that because it's useless space otherwise. So being able to step in that one section, right? You'll find it. That is great. And it's a proper bed. Look, I won't make any secret about the fact that I detest the Cybertruck, and I do. However, if they built a Cybertruck that had a usable bed, that to me would be like 3/4 of the game. I would be so much happier with that damn thing. It's just got a useless bed the way they designed it. It's terrible. This has a proper bed that is usable by people who actually need to use a bed. So if they're able to make that 500-mile range, that's with the range extender, and I think it's 350 miles with the battery only, which is already, that's pretty damn good too. If they can do that in a vehicle with this type of body shape that's going to weigh an awful lot, I'm guessing over 6,000 pounds, that is extraordinary. And the potential of this truck, whoa. Look, they're putting a lot of time and money into it. They're going to be building their own facility. They've already started building its own production facility, which means American jobs and Americans working there. It's going to be an American truck. Yes, of course, Volkswagen owns it, but forget that part. The part that's important to me is that it looks like it's got a lot of potential to be a very good truck. And the pricing, yeah, okay, it's not cheap, but it's competitive. It's around the $60,000 range, which right now, if you're looking at modern pickup trucks, hell, even midsize trucks, some of them start there. GMC with their Canyon AT4X package launch, was it? That's like 61 grand and also cheap. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. So starting there with a vehicle that is environmentally sound and that can go off-road, I'm pretty happy about that.
Totally. I only have like, when I was, Tommy was there, right? Tommy went to the event unveiling of the Scout Terra. It's called Terra. I actually like the name Terra, you know, Terra Firma, right? It's all good.
I actually dated a girl named Terra.
Wow. Okay.
No, I really did.
I hope spelled, the same, spelled the same or not the same?
No, it was spelled differently. I think it was only one R or something like that. And there was like an umlaut and an X and something, whatever. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But she, high school.
But I was bummed by a couple things when I saw the Scout pickup truck news. I mean, I cannot wait to drive it. I'm super psyched, excited. But when they said available in 2027, I kind of exhaled a little bit. And then they said 60 grand to start before incentives, right? But over the last 3 years, we've learned that if you promise a price 3 years into the future, it may not be the same price, right? So inflation, other factors, you know, it's really unpredictable. And I think kudos to Scout for actually promising something or at least mentioning something, but it could change. And I think the price could go up actually. So I'm a little bit bummed by how long we have to wait and also bummed that it could be more expensive.
If they're smart, they will keep the buzz going on this. So this year we now have these rolling mock-ups that we were not really able to play with, but at least it's a start. Then perhaps in 6 months, they'll have something that we can actually go inside of and hit some buttons. And then 6 months from there, maybe they'll have a driving model. If they're smart, they will partition little chunks of time to keep this vehicle in the vernacular, keep it out there until they can actually build it. Now, to be fair, if they can actually put this thing out in 2027, I mean, we're at the very end of 2024, my friend. So it could be less than 3 years before we actually get our hands on one. Remember, from time to time, we actually got to drive a truck or a car before it goes to dealerships. It's not always the case, but sometimes it is. And sometimes we get to drive these vehicles months, if not even a year in advance, in some cases. So this could be the case here. I'm excited about it. I think it looks fantastic. There's a lot of good about it. And I agree with you. I'm a little scared about that price going up. But this is a very large organization, an umbrella organization that actually is pulling the strings. And I'm hoping that they understand that if they upset the public by, you know, putting that price way up after they promised it, then there'll be a knee-jerk reaction. So if they're smart, take the hit. If inflation bounces up a little bit more, keep that price at least early on where you said it was going to be, you'll sell more trucks.
Exactly. And also what manufacturers tend to do is they tend to sell, you tend to come out with the most expensive model first, right?
Right.
And then offer the more affordable one later. And I get it. There's temptation for them to do that too, right? They have to pay their bills.
I hope they don't. I so hope they don't do that.
Yeah. So I just wanted to put a little bit of grain of salt, right, on this, because, you know, it's easy to get excited by this design. And I think the design is wonderful. And a bench seat in the front? Really?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yes. That's, and it looks like a really usable one because there's no gear lever or anything else in the way. An actual human being could sit there and it's just like, wow, maximum utility. You can actually hold six human beings in this pickup truck. I think it's great. I'm thrilled about that.
Yes. So speaking a little bit closer, not as far in the future, but really soon coming up, I'm really excited because TFL is also purchasing a Maverick all-wheel drive hybrid. So we ordered one a couple of months ago, whenever it was. And we wanted to get a little bit more simple one, a little bit more affordable, speaking of price, right? And the Maverick has always been very affordable. Yes. You know, it came out at $20,000 3 years ago. Now it's
just under. Actually, it started at $19,995. That's a $5 savings under 20, my friend.
Yes, now it's no longer the case.
No, I think it's 23 is around where it starts, right?
Yeah, and now I think for 25 model year, because they changed it, they updated it slightly. Yeah. You know, new front end, They added all-wheel drive version to the hybrid, which is amazing. This is the one where we want to buy. So I want to see exactly what that means, right? Because you can combine efficiency with all-wheel drive. So I want to see how much of a hit you're taking, right? If any, on the all-wheel drive system. But and also we want to take it into the snow, into the dirt trails. And it's not a huge off-roader. It doesn't have a lot of ground clearance. And we bought we selected an XLT hybrid all-wheel drive with a towing package. And it will tow 4,000 now. It's really, really cool, except you cannot get a Tremor hybrid all-wheel drive, and you cannot get an FX4 hybrid all-wheel drive. If you want the FX4 off-road model or the Tremor model, you have to go turbocharged 2-liter engine only.
I wonder if that's a packaging thing or if that's a powertrain thing.
I think there's limits to what they can offer, right? I mean, I think they prioritized, the hybrids on some of these other models, right? And I think it's kind of a marketing decision. That's my take. I don't know if it's a technical. I don't think it's an engineering decision necessarily to do that type of stuff. It may be just a marketing thing.
I do regret that I got the Hyundai instead of the Maverick, because I think that the Maverick, first of all, I think more audience members would have been interested in owning one long term. And so my regret is now no longer there, because the reason I didn't get it was because I couldn't get an all-wheel drive version of the hybrid.
Yeah.
Now, at the very least, the boys at TFL can get that, and they're going to test the crap out of it. I'm hoping maybe I'll be able to get out there and actually drive that thing as well. Otherwise, it'll probably show up in the California fleet eventually, and I'll get my hands on one. But it's better to drive the TFL one and not have to worry about beating up
Plus, you could always probably offer Roman money and buy it when Roman is done.
Andre, I still have that the big Ford, and I don't know how I'm going to get rid of that.
You have the Expedition?
I bought four vehicles from TFL. Four vehicles have been purchased from TFL. Four. This is my fourth. And I don't know if my wife will stay married to me if I buy a fifth. So, what color is the one we're getting, by the way?
It's this. It's Eruption.
The green one?
It's the green one. Yes.
Yes. Not with those wheels, right?
I don't know if it will get that same wheel, but we are getting an XLT. So it might. Okay. I want a quick update on your Expedition. What's going on with the big truck?
It still runs. It's sitting in my back area, parking area, and it's probably already drinking gas, just sitting there, just kind of sipping a little bit here and there. It still drives great. It's just a beast. It's a little too big for driving in the city. I've taken it several times to downtown LA and Beverly Hills, where I have some other gigs that I work. Parking it sucks. But it's just great. There is one thing that's faulty on it. I'm trying to figure it out. The windshield wiper squirter, the pump isn't working. So I don't know if the pump died or there's actually it's not a fuse. It's like a large, like a relay that you can replace. And so I'm trying to figure out which one of those it is. I'm hoping it's the relays that I can replace. I haven't gotten around to doing that yet because I'm barely driving it because I'm getting fleet cars to test. But eventually I'll get around to it. I still use it to take the dogs to the dog park and buy bringing my wife's furniture that she keeps buying, like antique stuff, which is really big and expensive and horrible, but it holds it. So every time I think about getting rid of it, there's a reason not to. And it's cheap to insure. Okay. Really, the only thing I haven't because it's still technically it's a Colorado car and it goes back and forth to Colorado. My daughter's driven it a few times there. It's still a Colorado car. Getting cars licensed in California is terribly expensive. It's just ridiculous.
And I mean, emissions, you have to do testing all the time.
Yeah. And it should. I think it'll pass just fine. The emissions are probably the best part of that truck. it was fine in Colorado. And the cool thing is that Colorado and California testing, they're very similar. So I haven't done anything to the exhaust system at all. I haven't messed with any of it. So I'm guessing that should pass. And I think it's about $50 for me to do that. But to get that thing licensed here, just wild guess. How much do you think it's going to be?
But wait a minute. Isn't it like a 97 Ford Expedition?
It certainly is.
So it's not a brand new vehicle that's very expensive.
Oh, no, not at all.
It's out of state. It's out of state.
Right.
So if you were to register it in California, it would be, I would imagine, $200 maybe to register it?
About three times that amount.
What? About $600?
It's going to be, I was given an estimate that it'll run between $400 and $700, depending on, because I haven't actually gone and done it, because I don't want to spend $400 or $700. So it's still legal and everything else, because it's a two-state vehicle, and it's been going back and forth, so that's fine. But eventually, I do want to have it licensed here, because eventually I'll probably sell it, and selling it as a Colorado vehicle in California is a little wonky. But man. My wife's car, which is a 2019 Mazda CX-5, $1,700. $1,700 to have that registered here.
That's an ouch. Because, so the way Colorado does it, and I've never registered anything in California, but Colorado, your registration is also based on the price of your vehicle, right? So the more expensive the vehicle, technically, the more expensive the registration. We're not even talking about taxes.
Even talking about taxes. That's the other part of that. Yeah.
It's just the registration. So, right. I mean, I don't want to dwell on this too much, but I just wonder, how can people afford, like, I don't know, when you buy like an S-Class Mercedes for like $120,000, it must be a fortune to actually register it and do all kinds of things.
Well, those people are already rich, and so that works out for them. I feel bad for the ones who are buying a $40,000 vehicle, which is sort of near the average, and what they have to spend. Now, bear in mind, out of state is one issue, and then there's taxes. There's all that other stuff that makes this price expand. But I'm just letting you know my hardship and one of the issues I'm having. Had that vehicle been a full year old, by the way, by the time I registered it, it would be far less expensive. That's the other part that's important. Anyway, let's go on to the next topic here, because,
we're talking about, you know, trucks we're excited to drive or brand news. Something else that's coming again very, very soon. It's a V6 powered Ford Ranger. Since we've kind of been in this Ford section of our show. So Ford initially launched the 2024 refreshed new Ranger with a 2.3 liter four cylinder turbo. Right.
Right.
So that's fine. We've tested it many times, you and I. You know,
it's a great powertrain.
We did everything. So that's the old powertrain, right? But now, then they introduced the Raptor, right? TFL actually owns Ranger Raptor. It's been a pretty amazing truck for us so far. No mechanical issues with it, and it's been pretty solid. But now they're introducing the 2.7 liter V6 in other models like XLTs and Lariats, as far as the Ranger. But we haven't been able to tow with it yet. We haven't been able to do an MPG Denver 100 loop with it yet. So that's coming up, I think, within the next like 3-4 weeks. So that's coming very, very soon. Probably even before we get the Maverick. So I'm not exactly sure when the Maverick is coming. But this is going to be a loan. We're not buying. We're kind of done, mostly done with buying stuff. So,
right.
So that V6 Ranger, I'm also excited, but it's an engine from an F-150, basically, or the Bronco, actually. It's a Bronco engine.
Well, riddle me this. Now, in the Ranger Raptor, you have the 3-liter V6, twin turbocharged monster. I mean, it's 450 pound-feet of torque or something like that. It's really torquey.
Yeah, by the way, we Ford-tuned it. We got a tuner from Ford. So this Ranger Raptor is now spicy. It's like 450.
It was already pretty spicy.
Yeah, it was already spicy. And then you kick it up a couple more notches. We did a whole video about this. It's 455 horsepower now after this performance tune. and 530 pound feet of torque. That's a lot.
There are very few full-size pickup trucks that even come close to that. Yeah. So my question is, I'm trying to think about where Ford's mindset is. Now, we already know the four-cylinder is a very capable powertrain. It works very well. And it can tow. It's one of the best in class with towing. It's right up there. So what is the benefit of this 2.7 liter V6? Can it tow more? Can it do more? Is it faster? Or is it less?
So as far as I understand it, it has the exact same rating for towing. So some people, actually, I did an initial video about this like a month ago. And some viewers thought that because you get a V6, you tow more. That's not the case. It's got the same rating, 7,500 pounds. It's already a good rating. So that's fine. As far as I can surmise, you're just getting better acceleration. You know, and also I think there's a little bit of, you know, people are bummed that most V6s and V8s are going away, right? So I think what Ford is just doing is like, if you're upset about a four-cylinder engine, here, try a V6, right? They're kind of saying, you know, you could have both options if you wanted to. So that's how I can see this. That's the only way I see it.
Just doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but I get your point. I am curious what the viewers think too about that extra choice. So that's three engine choices for one pickup. That is a big change from the old days where there was one engine choice, the four cylinder with the 10 speed, and that was it. So now they have more choices, obviously, for at least with the Raptor version and the regular version. That makes a lot of sense to me. This V6, I'm curious to how you feel about it. Maybe it tows better because it's more relaxed on the road. I don't know. You know, these are things that I'm looking forward to finding out from you.
Yeah, we'll do it within a couple of weeks. We'll have a lot more on this. And it's also interesting because, like, you know, also Ford doesn't have a hybrid Ranger, right?
Tacoma, yeah, I know, right? Even though it exists in Australia.
Exactly. Tacoma is offering a hybrid here. Okay, GM doesn't have a hybrid either, you know, Colorado and Canyon. But, you know, Ford has a plug-in hybrid in other markets coming out like right now, and it's not here. So we'll have to wait and see how that works. I want to wrap up this episode, this podcast, on another little tiny truck that you and I think are excited about, because we talked about this. It's a brand new company. So the story here is, it's not kind of the same story as Scout, right? Scout is backed by a giant manufacturer, VW Group.
Right.
I'm talking right now about Tello trucks, and it's spelled T-E-L-O, Tello. And they have this concept where a little four-door pickup, mini truck, can actually fit in the same space as a compact car, right?
Like a Mini Cooper. They actually used the Mini Cooper, the two-door Mini Cooper, as an example, and they are about the same length.
Oh, here.
This thing... Yeah, yeah, you're right. You go. There's a picture right there.
Yes.
And that's actually the previous model Mini Cooper, which is just a tiny bit smaller than the new one. But nonetheless, you know, the reason they're able to do this type of packaging is because they're sitting on top of the powertrain. They're sitting on top of the battery. And so there's no need for a large engine bay, meaning that the cab can move forward and they can have this usable bed. Let's talk about that bed, because it does look tiny, but there's a couple tricks to it.
Yeah, and well, it says here it's a 5-foot bed. So it's basically like, I mean, it's a little bit bigger than the Maverick bed, right?
Right.
And it's about, well, not quite, but I think it's close to the bed size of a Rivian truck. So it's really a magic of packaging. But they don't have a huge backing, right? So they don't have, you know, a huge investors, big factories, et cetera, et cetera. So... it'll be interesting. We may have a chance to drive it soon. So maybe within the next few months or maybe even sooner, but I just wanted to mention it because it's a concept, like, you know, everybody at TFL is kind of crazed about pay trucks, right? Alex owns a K van, a little Suzuki, right? We also have a Honda Acty, a little pickup truck, which is a cab over. And this
looks, I used to have a Suzuki Samurai.
Yeah, you had a Suzuki Samurai. I mean, this looks like kind of like a little cab over truck, which is compact and also pretty useful.
I agree. And this to me, now everybody has their own take on what an electric pickup truck is. And honestly, I was never enthusiastic about any of the ones that have hit the market in terms of what they represented, because they were just big, they were heavy and expensive. So the idea of going smaller and building a truck that can hold some people, get some miles, and at the same time be parked in a big city, I really like that. I love small vehicles when they're packaged correctly. And this one looks like it could be. So the good news is they have some rolling examples that are hopefully accessible to us. They do have, they're already working on production. So they're a step above the sketching and a mock-up stage, right? So that gives them more validity in my book. That doesn't mean necessarily this is going to happen, but Andre and I hopefully will be able to have access to this fairly soon and tell you about it. But I think that for some people, not all, for some people that really want that all-electric little pickup truck, the affordable one that we keep dreaming about, this might be the answer. And if so, they may bring in some investors and really get this thing off the ground.
Exactly. And I know we need to wrap up this episode really, really soon. I just wanted to say, like, I also reserved a canoe pickup truck, I want to say 3 years ago, and I'm still waiting, you know, twiddling my thumbs. And there's almost no word about it, any news about canoe. So there's many companies like this. I'm not saying Tello is like canoe. I'm just saying there's new companies trying to break through the market. It's very hard to do. So you really have to be skeptical and take a look at this.
It's so hard to just start from nothing and actually go into production. And the only reason some of these companies have managed, like Rivian has managed to do it, is because there was really big investment. But I mean, we've seen so many companies that have come out with these really cool looking sketches and everything else. And it's like, yeah, it didn't happen. And it didn't happen because maybe they got a little bit of investment to fill their pockets, but it wasn't enough to make the thing real. It's a real shame. But I'm hoping that Tello can manage this, because I think I got a really interesting idea.
Yeah. And also we'll be playing around with, well, first of all, the RHO first drive event already happened.
Yes.
We hope to get another chance to drive it soon. And also Chevrolet is expanding their range of EV Silverados. So there's going to be the new LT trim of the Silverado EV. Hopefully we'll get a chance to drive it really soon. They have a new work truck for 2025 model year, which is coming out very, very soon. That starts at $57,000. So they're actually bringing the prices down. They're extending their range and they're adding more trim levels. Finally, I mean, it's been kind of a while, you know, it's taken them a while to get here, but they're doing it.
I just wish, and I know that a lot of you viewers and listeners out there probably agree, that they would start the way they used to start, which was giving you the base models first. And then, yeah, okay, you can work your way up to these much more expensive trims. It just doesn't seem to happen in the world of electric vehicles, especially trucks. So hopefully this is a good sign, and perhaps they're figuring out a few things. One thing I'll give General Motors a lot of credit on, their trucks have incredible range. I mean, they really, truly do.
Yeah, they do have big batteries. So, all right. So that's kind of the show for today, for this week. Stay tuned. Like we said, SEMA is going to be just, a few days away. There's a lot of news. Also, you can find out what truck I purchased for my personal usage using alltfl.com. Just check it out right there. Just take a look. So I really appreciate it. We'll see you very soon. And hopefully, I really want to talk to you about the truck I chose. But let's do it in a future episode.
That sounds great. All right, guys. Well, Vegas, baby. And if you don't see Andre, you know that he has had way too much fun. I have a cousin there who's a lawyer, so I'll give you his number.
I may have gambling issues. Yeah. All right.
See you guys.
All right. See ya.
Picture this. You're in the garage, hands covered in grease, just finished tuning up your engine with a part you found on eBay, and you realize, you know what? I could also use new brakes. So where do you go next? Back to eBay. You can find anything there. It's unreal. Wipers, headlights, even cold air intakes, it's all there. And you've got eBay Guaranteed Fit. You order a part, and if it doesn't fit, send it back. Simple as that. Look, DIY fixes can be major. Doesn't matter if it's just maintenance or a major mod. You got it. Especially when things are guaranteed to fit. So when you dive into your next car project, start with eBay. All the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.